This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
The young shining cuckoo is fed by its foster parents on insects and spiders. But the korimako, or bellbird, has a much more interesting diet of nectar. It's been something of a radio personality and has sung on shortwave radio to Australia and the Pacific nations for 30 years. However, the early recordings failed to reflect the versatility of the bellbird, with its wide variety of liquid notes and artistically placed clicks and bell-like sounds. It's not surprising that Maori mythology describes korimako, the bellbird, as the messenger of tane, sent to herald the coming of the sun.
Community or chaos, we can construct and nurture community or fall into chaos. Over the next hour, Marvin Hubbard hosts conversations toward creating a fairer, more equal society.
Community or Chaos is made possible with the support of Quakers Aotearoa. You'll find them online at quaker.org.nz.
Andrew, what encouraged you to work for Dunedin Budgery Advice?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. Going back 15 years now, I was actually in between jobs and I was looking in the paper and I saw a little advertisement advertising assistant coordinator part-time for the Dunedin Budget Advisory Service. And at the time, I didn't really even know what budget advisory services did. And I thought to myself, well, that sounds like a challenge. And also being someone that's interested in social justice, I put in an application. And 15 years later, here we are.
Could you talk briefly about the Dunedin Budgetary Service and how people access it?
Sure. So the Budget Advisory Service, we've been here in Dunedin since 1972, so a fair while now, 53 years. Originally, Dunedin Budget Advisory Service was set up to help people do exactly what it said on the tin, help people with their budgets. Nowadays, there's so much more that we do. So we're really about helping people that are going through financial hardship. So there's a whole lot of tools and tricks that we can access on behalf of clients to try and make things a bit easier for them. So we can, we always start with their budget, but depending how the budget's looking or what types of debts they've got, that's when we get into the nitty-gritty of what we do. So it may be negotiating with creditors, investigating loans that people shouldn't have been given, maybe applying for hardship on those loans. Sometimes we even dispute the loans. Perhaps they shouldn't have been given in the first place. When things get really bad, we can maybe help people tap into their KiwiSaver to help pay some essential bills. And when things are really bad, we can maybe support people with different insolvency procedures. There's also, because we're locally based and we've been here for quite a while, we're quite well embedded in our community. So we know a lot of resources that are available out there for clients. So we can connect people with things, for example, food banks or support with their electricity bills. Sports, costs for sports for children. There's the Dunedin Curtain Bank, the Super Greens, all sorts of services out there that we can connect people with.
We're talking with Andrew Henderson of Budget Advice. And you can podcast this by going to oar.org.nz and then going to podcast, then going to Community or Chaos. Andrew, you're speaking yourself now personally on some of these questions.
Yes, thank you for sending the questions through beforehand, Marvin. And I was thinking, yes, I will be giving my own views on things.
How have people been faring over the past year since I last talked to you?
Yes, well, it's getting increasingly difficult for people out there. The gap between the haves and the have-nots seems to have been increasing, as it always seems to be these days. But people really are doing it tough out there in our community. It's really difficult for an organisation like ours, where we're talking about budgeting, but more and more we're seeing people that simply don't have enough money to budget with in the first place. So we would really like to see people with a little bit more income or support from government just to help them get by with the essentials and make ends meet.
Well, recently I was talking, well, fairly recently, I was talking with a church historian from America who talks about the economy as being a fortune for the few and unfortunate for the many. Are we in a recession and are we seeing inflation at the same time?
Well, we're definitely in a recession. So New Zealand actually went into recession again in September this year. And I have heard anecdotally, I think it was on the radio, but New Zealand's actually doing the worst it has since the early 90s.
Well, there's some similarity between the early 90s and now when you think of the governments.
Yeah, yeah. So really, really interesting. There was the blip of COVID, obviously, but I guess for an economy during what we'd call normal times, New Zealand's economy is currently performing very poorly and not serving our community well at all.
Are we seeing more people in Dunedin who are either unemployed or underemployed and can't get full-time work?
Dunedin goes against the trend a little bit. So nationally, unemployment is up, but in Dunedin, we're very lucky here. So unemployment has dropped slightly, but in saying that, unemployment has been trending up over the last couple of years. And personal view again, it is certainly a consequence of a lot of roles being disestablished by government. So in the government's push to become more, what's the word?
Austerity?
Well, there are the austerity measures, yes, absolutely. Efficient, that's what I was thinking. Right. So making government more efficient.
How do you define efficiency in government? Is it absolutely refusing to spend money and letting your infrastructure rot, or is it trying to make things work the best as possible, as efficiently as possible?
Well, what is government there to do, if not to serve the people and look after the people? I don't believe, I was thinking about this the other day, and it's almost like you have the left side and the right side of politics. And to me, the right side, where it's looking after oneself or looking to drive business, etc., that's always done at the expense of more marginalised people in the community. And for me, I just find it really hard to understand how any government can operate truly for the benefit of its people if it's coming from the right side of politics.
Now, we've done well as far as unemployment, but how about underemployment? How many people can't find full-time work that would need it and like it? and order that, to pay the rent. And
yes. So the unemployment figures kind of hide those underemployed people, don't they? So people that are underemployed, so they tick the box of being employed, but they are not working enough to support themselves or their families, and that is becoming an increasing problem. I believe it. Nationally, it has risen, and it has risen not quite as much in Dunedin, but we're seeing more and more, and this has gone on for years, but part-time jobs and contract jobs. So you're only employed during, say, the busy season over the summer, and then your job doesn't exist again, makes it really difficult for families to manage.
Now, what's changed and what's remained the same?
In terms of what?
In terms of people's income, in terms of ability to buy houses or find shelter.
Oh, good question. I think thinking now, what has changed? The whole world, I think, has changed. So the world is becoming more and more, everything operates globally. So I don't know if you remember, well, it's still going on probably, but there was a lot of media attention on butter. The cost of butter in New Zealand, and the cost of butter in New Zealand is explained by the fact that New Zealanders have to pay global prices for butter, even though butter's made on our doorstep. And that seems to be something that's becoming more and more common with the prices we pay for things like food.
Isn't that likely to increase because the Fonterras just sold off their marketing to a foreign company?
I honestly don't know the answer to that question. It seems like...
But isn't an overseas company less likely to charge less for Dunedin buyers than for New Zealand buyers than European or Asian buyers?
It's very unlikely, isn't it? And the other interesting thing with that deal is I believe there's a time limit on how long they've agreed to buy New Zealand milk to make the products. So when we get to the end of that period, can't remember their name.
Sounds like a really foolish thing to do then.
Yeah, well, there's no guarantee that they'll even buy milk from New Zealand farmers to make the household brands that we've come accustomed to. Those products may be made with milk from overseas countries, which in the long term could be a very bad deal for New Zealand dairy farmers.
One of the things that I've noticed is that inflation may have flattened somewhat, but inflation are things we really need every day, like food.
Yep.
And rent.
Yep.
They've still increased, haven't they?
It's hard to understand, Marvin. So what I'm seeing is the cost of food's going up. The cost of is a lot of people will know the rates for their home, the cost for their insurances, the cost of everything around us, all the basic essentials that we need is going up. And incomes are just not keeping up with that.
Our families on the low income over the last couple of years, have they had to use food banks more in the recent years than they did in the
past? Yes, they have, yes. So in the last couple of years, food bank usage has increased, and it's, again, it's really sad to see, and it's something that we can't really help people with in terms of budgeting, because budgeting is about making do with the income that you receive. But people's incomes are just not enough to afford the basics anymore, which is heartbreaking.
Understand the minimum income is actually not kept up with inflation. Is that true?
That I can't answer, but where are we? I think it's just over $23 an hour now. But with the way rents are in the city, which for a standard house, you'd be looking at $400 to $500 per week, and someone on a minimum wage would really struggle to pay that plus their other bills.
How do people who come to you for advice, how are they affected by the shortage of affordable housing or living space?
And that is a really difficult problem as well. we do work with people that are really worried about their accommodation, and they're very keen to get on to support from social housing, but government, unless someone's actually basically homeless, government is not in a position or willing to help people that just can't afford their rent. The big problem with that as well is that the basic benefits haven't kept up with rents. So virtually all beneficiaries receive what's called the accommodation supplement, and the accommodation supplement is no longer fit for purpose, in my view. It just does not cover the cost of accommodation anymore.
Depends on what purpose it is. It actually helps the landlord quite a bit, doesn't it?
Well, it does, but what happens with the benefits nowadays is people almost across the board have to rely on something called temporary additional support from the government, and you have to reapply for the so-called temporary additional support every 3 months. But that so-called temporary support is essential to keep people in their houses, because it's basically covering the cost of their rent. So we really are needing the accommodation supplement that all beneficiaries receive to be reviewed significantly, so that it actually reflects the cost of accommodation.
There's no cap on rents, is there?
I don't believe so, no.
No, there isn't, I believe.
Yeah.
So depending on what kind of landlord you are, and if you're one of those landlords that owns dozens or more houses, you can increase the rent and say you're increasing it because of the government help to people that can't afford the rent.
The rents?
Rent subsidy is a subsidy that may help the landlords more than it helps the renters.
Yes, well, I guess just the landlord just has to put the rent up and the government will foot the bill. But it is supply and demand, I guess, and with the shortage of quality housing, the market is really tilted towards benefiting landlords at the moment. I had heard that rents have dropped slightly, but they're still incredibly high. So, yes.
I'm going to play a song now and then we'll continue this. That was the Empty Pocket Blues. And we're talking with Andrew Henderson of Budget Advice. How do you feel when you hear members of government say that homeless people are homeless by choice and it's their fault? What does it mean to you when the government talks about cleaning up Auckland of homeless people or in the business district before the tourist season begins and possibly making illegal sleep in the streets.
For me, Marvin, that just doesn't sound like New Zealand anymore. It sounds very callous and uncaring. I don't see how someone could say that it's people's own fault that they're homeless. I'm sure there are the odd person that chooses to live on the streets, but by and large, I think it's the way society's going that's causing people to live on streets. If we look at all the changes the government's made over the last couple of years, which is directly taking money out of people's pockets or making it increasingly difficult for people to afford the basics. Yeah, it just seems really callous. I don't think we should be sweeping members of our society under the carpet just because it's the tourist season. It seems unbelievable to me. I don't know if you've caught up with the news about the so government's paying for Michelin to come to New Zealand to bring the Michelin stars, which is a way of recognising high-end restaurants. And it really feels like the government's catering to people that are wealthy and have a lot of disposable income and are not so concerned about people that are really doing it tough.
Do you think would you be willing to pay higher taxes in order to provide state housing and other ish things that people and good health care?
Personally, absolutely yes. I think we should all be paying our fair share, and I think people that earn a good wage should be contributing back to society in looking after those who are more unfortunate.
According to Inland Revenue study itself a couple of years ago, that the people on the highest incomes are paying the least.
Yes.
In the way of taxes. And in some ways, this government, by their taxation policies, have helped the rich more than the poor, particularly large landowners.
Well, we were all given tax breaks when this government came into power, weren't we?
Yeah, but who got the most tax breaks?
Yes. But basically the government is getting less income from taxes. They gave everybody tax cuts. They've given landlords tax cuts. In a time when they're saying they don't have enough money, it just doesn't make sense to me. We should be paying more tax. The government there is there to serve the people and look after the people. So that's, with healthcare, education, all of those basics that society needs. And when we're given tax cuts, I just scratch my head.
How do you manage mortgages if your income goes down because of unemployment or shorter hours of work? How are people dealing with this? That can affect both low-income people and people on middle incomes.
It can affect anybody. And the big key with that question is communication. So if you are in a position where you're struggling to pay your mortgage or you know that change is around the corner, talk to your bank immediately. The sooner you talk to your bank, the better, so that they're aware of the situation. Banks do not want to see people reneging on their mortgage, and they really don't want to see things getting to the stage of a mortgagee sale. So really important to communicate and work with your bank to come up with solutions to deal with that problem.
It must have happened to a lot of people in Wellington over the last 6 months.
You would think so. A lot of people been made redundant in Wellington, all to save a few dollars too, I guess, isn't it?
I wonder if it actually will save dollars. When you contract out, usually they pay contractors more than you pay government employees.
Correct.
And also you lose institutional memory, institutional knowledge.
So many losses. And also your to keep the economy going, we need money going around the economy, don't we? And by taking jobs off people, it's severely limiting the money that goes through the economy and therefore starts to affect all those small businesses as well. So then we see all the stories in the media with the, the cafes and the all those service industries that are really struggling as well.
Seems to me we have to have a real rethink about equality and also about the economy, partly because of the recession is now facing, but also because of climate change, which will bring great change whether we're prepared for it or not. I mean, some things happen whether you want them to or not.
Correct.
Do we need a more egalitarian tax system and a more egalitarian economy if we're going to cooperate when floods and sea level rise and other climate change feedback start hitting us because we haven't mitigated? Or, no, we haven't, but the world hasn't mitigated.
Well, even we need to think nowadays. About it.
Well, how do we – is it time to think about the common good and think about what kind of – what an economy is for?
Yes, it is. And as you touch on there, Marvin, it is really important that we're looking after this planet that we all live on. And New Zealand has also been walking back some of the agreements that we've made. Trying to think, the 2030 the Paris Agreement, New Zealand has walked back on that. And by doing that, it's really saying it's favouring big business at the expense of our environment, but ultimately our environment, we all have to live on this planet, don't we? And maybe it won't be us, but it will be generations to come. And it just seems so short-sighted and selfish to me that people are prepared to make short-term economic gains for themselves at the expense of future generations.
Yes, that's something we haven't faced, really.
Well, it's really sad,
isn't it? It's a responsibility.
It? Yep.
We have a responsibility to our, even if we don't have children, we have a responsibility to coming generations. What, you know, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and so on.
Well, it just seems so short-sighted if I had the attitude that I just don't care and I want to make a buck, and if it...
Well, it tells you a lot about the economic system.
Well, yeah.
Is this government taking a page off of Donald Trump? Is becoming a Trump-like government?
Don't, yeah.
That's a question we ought to ask ourselves, really. Do you want the future of the world to look like Trump and what's happening in America?
Well, it looks really scary what's happening in America, and...
Is it a good thing to take an economic policy that are so similar? Well, let's talk about something better. Let's talk about Christmas.
Christmas. Jingle bells.
Well, you have a lot of work over Christmas, before Christmas, don't you?
We actually have more work after Christmas.
Okay, tell us about that.
So after Christmas, we see, unfortunately see that the effects of people not budgeting for Christmas and, I guess, overextending themselves and not living within their means, which is
hard to do that at Christmas time, isn't it? Especially if you have children and grandchildren. And,
well, it's tempting, and it's just
and maybe part of your extended family is quite comfortable, and they can, you know, afford to buy presents and splash out on big meals, but your family may not be in the same position. So how do you handle that?
So it's all around managing expectations and talking with your family, talking with your children, and maybe not making things too doom and gloom, but explaining what you can do within reason. So much of Christmas seems to be about consumerism and keeping up with the Joneses, and it really doesn't have to be that way. You would probably, or I know I find a lot less stress if I'm living within my means and I don't have to worry about when the credit card bill comes. So yes, managing expectations and making do with what you've got and thinking outside the box for ideas at Christmas time's really useful.
I was been thinking that, you know, Christmas time's in some way supposed to be celebrating the birth of Jesus.
Right, yes.
And what would Jesus say about homelessness and the great inequality you still find in the world?
I'm certainly not an expert, Marvin, but I think so Jesus was all about compassion, caring for marginalised people, and I think he would be quite sad to see what's going on in some parts of society. I think Jesus stood up for the poor and the outcast, those homeless people we were talking about before, and he certainly wouldn't want to be pushing people under the carpet or pretending they don't exist. I think he'd probably have those people front and centre, and Christmas would be all about them.
Isn't that part of what Christmas should be about?
Yes, well, I guess Christmas is a religious celebration and westernised. It's all about consumerism, and I guess it's a time when a lot of businesses make their money for the year. But if you get back to those core things that you were talking about, Marvin, so thinking about compassion and justice and looking on the or caring about the more unfortunate people in our society, we would probably all be better off, wouldn't we?
Isn't Christmas also a time when people actually are greatly tempted to go into debt or use their credit card more than they should?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's not only families and associates, but it's also you turn on the television or listen to the radio, and it's you get a lot of things about how to buy things before Christmas, why you should have this gift or that gift, and how do you deal with that yourself? I mean, how?
Well, again, it's around managing expectations and I guess just being a little bit realistic and thinking, what can I actually afford here? Credit is so easy to get in New Zealand. So we have buy now, pay later. So the one a lot of your listeners will be used to is Afterpay, and it's very easy to purchase things. So you have the goods now, and then you pay for them later. And it's such an easy trap for people to fall into, and it's something that at the budget service we see all the time, people just so overcommitted to paying for these things that have it now and pay for it later. It is unfortunate, and I guess trying to have a little bit of discipline at Christmas time is important. Nigel Latta, who recently passed away, very clever New Zealander, and for him he said, at Christmas time, think about who you're with and what you're doing. Like, people don't remember all that stuff. If you look back on your own childhood, I don't know if how many listeners can remember all the gifts they were given, but they're more likely to be able to remember times of where they were, special times, and who they were with. And that's really a good message at Christmas time around. Yeah.
Actually, what I remember was the economic and social stress, particularly on my mother.
Right.
My father wasn't so he was careful, but he wasn't so concerned with keeping up with the family or friends. But my mother was very concerned that we couldn't do that.
It's quite a happy place to be when you can just not be concerned about things, isn't it?
Well,
it
actually made it difficult for both of them.
Yes, it would have.
But you can see why there's, because of the advertising, because of the tradition of gift giving and so on.
Mm.
And this was, of course, in America, which was, and we're more like that now, but I think it can be quite stressful, even if you make the right decisions, not to spend money. Stress isn't.
Yep, there's pressure from children or partners or, And that's,
or just the culture.
Where I said managing expectations, so maybe one of the key words there is managing. So actually talking about things and trying to be on the same page as the rest of your family is important as well.
People don't usually take out loans before Christmas, but they use credit cards a lot more, don't they? Aren't people more likely to use credit cards at Christmas time than any other time of the year?
Yes, and they're also more likely to use the Afterpay that I was talking about earlier. So,
what's the cost of those? I mean, how much, what kind of interest do you pay on? Say you get things on credit and you go beyond the time that you're allowed.
Yeah.
I know usually it's 20 or 30 days. You don't have to pay much interest on credit. But if you go well over a month, you start paying. What kind of interest will you be paying?
It really depends on the cards in the companies. There's a lot of variation out there. But even if you don't go, even if you're paying the minimum balance, though, you still get caught up in starting to pay interest. So the less you can put on credit cards, the better. A little thing to keep in mind with credit cards is when you get the bill, can you pay it in full? And if you can't, that means your credit card is it needs to be managed. It may not mean that it's getting away on you, but it could be a warning sign that if I can't pay the full balance before it's due.
Can you get as high as 20%?
Easily.
What kind of range can you look at when you're in credit?
So cards can easily get up to 25 to 30% per annum. Some of the non-bank cards. So finance companies also issue credit cards, which tend to be a bit more expensive than the credit cards that the banks provide.
Do you think the government should in some way restrict credit cards. And, well, for instance, I know of a family, or heard of a family, where one member of the family was gambled.
Oh, yes.
And the other, his partner couldn't get the banks to limit his credit card.
Right. So
they ended up actually remortgaging their house.
Oh, dear. Well, I would like to think, so in New Zealand,
This was in New Zealand. Some decades ago.
Okay, so things may be a little different now. So in New Zealand, we have the Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Act, which isn't as responsible as I would like to see it. In fact, that act is currently going through government again at the moment, trying to unwind some of the protections that have been put in there for consumers in making it easier to borrow, which Dunedin Budget Advisory Service is firmly against. But I think our submissions will probably fall on deaf ears, but one needs to get one's voice out there anyway. So I do think government should be restricting. Nowadays, banks have to, or all lenders actually, have to be very careful that when they are providing credit, that the borrower understands what they're getting themselves into, and the borrower needs to be able to afford the repayments without causing undue hardship, and the borrowing also needs to be fit for purpose and meet the borrower's needs. And with the example you've just given, Marvin, if the credit card is to be used for gambling, I would think if a budget advisor saw an example like that, they would certainly be there would be complaints being made.
The problem is that sometimes people don't know about their rights and even don't know about going to a budget advisor and do it.
That's right. And all we can do is try and keep the word out there, hence why I'm on this show with you at the moment, so people hopefully are aware.
Okay. How do you go to budget advice in Dunedin? What are the different ways?
So for our service, it's as easy as picking up the phone and calling 03-471-6158. Or you can access us through our website, budgetingdunedin.co.nz, and you can there's a contact page on there, and you can send us a message.
You can leave a message by phone?
Yes, you can leave a message on the phone.
Okay, what's the phone number again?
03-471-6158.
Okay. The other thing I was going to ask you, it's not actually something that it's just come to me now, is that it's actually, there are many financial situations where you find that government officials no longer available in person, and
maybe
sometimes if you phone, you have to wait for half an hour or more.
At least, yes.
Or an hour. I actually went for a car rental company. I used up all my cell phone in one day.
Wow. Yeah.
I saved a lot of money, but
it's very common.
So people that aren't really good with computers and online and may not even own a computer, are they disenfranchised economically to some degree?
Yes. What's that called? Digital exclusion.
Yeah.
Yep. And that certainly is
a
problem.
Citizens' Advice has meant this a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a problem. It's increasingly difficult to function in our society without those digital tools. And if it's something that you're not confident in using, or you don't understand, or maybe you're hesitant, yes, very difficult. And where possible, I'd certainly be encouraging people to ask for help to do some of those things, because the other problem with doing things online digitally, of course, is scams and fraudsters. And if you're not keeping your wits about you these days, it's very easy to be taken advantage of. So,
yeah,
yes, one must be careful.
I kept on my home phone, I keep getting, well, not so much lately, but for years I got this message saying, your MasterCard is in security trouble. Please give us your details so we can help you out.
No.
It was actually much more less blatant than that. It was, it could easily fool people.
Yep. What's the tip with, particularly with banks and credit cards?
Never give out any
details. A bank will not ask you for your details, ask you to sign in or for your sign-in details. So never give out that information.
Basically, if somebody calls you like that, hang up.
Yep, which is very hard for us Kiwis. Quite a polite bunch, so it doesn't come naturally to hang up on someone.
Well, frankly, if I think it's somebody like that, I just – though I'm sometimes tempted not to hang up, just waste their time.
Which can be an approach as well.
But don't ever give them any information at all.
No.
What do you think can be done to help people who have real problems with getting help because they're not computer literate, they don't have a computer? Who do you go to for that kind of thing?
Oh, well, in Dunedin, if you're a little bit older, age concern, I know have great groups that they run for people. I also know the library is very, very good with they run classes and they have computers and things that people can freely use. Out where the budget service is now located in South Dunedin, we have the South Dunedin Community Network, and one morning a week they have someone in there that helps people with technology-related queries. So there is help out there.
Mm. I understand Citizens Advice will walk you through these things.
Yes, and absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes help you get in touch with someone if you have to.
CAB provide a great service.
What would you like to see happen next?
Oh, personally?
What do you think the government should be governing for the common good?
Yes, I do.
How do you understand the common good?
Well, I think that it's a society where we care about each other. We're not trying to take advantage of each other. It's fair and reasonable to earn an income and make a living. But when we're trying to make an income at the expense of other people, or taking advantage of other people, that doesn't sit comfortably with me. So a society where we're more inclusive in thinking about each other and thinking how we can do things together for the common good, rather than where the main focus is on ourselves and maybe how I can take advantage of other people.
Should governments – is what legitimizes government? Is it governing for the common good? Is that what legitimizes government, or it gives them the right to govern, ethical right?
They've been elected fairly by the people, so I guess it's a democratic thing.
But isn't there a duty to govern for the common good?
Yes, there is. And I guess with any system, the difficulty is when you start to introduce politics into it. So things are not always being done for the benefit of people. They're actually being done for political reasons. And that is possibly a flaw in our system.
Should we be careful that we regulate donations to individuals, to political parties, and groups that fund political parties? So we don't go down the same rabbit hole America's gone down.
I think there needs to be a lot of scrutiny and a lot of transparency on political donations. There's nothing wrong with supporting someone that has values similar to your own.
It's one thing to give somebody a party $100.
Yeah, it is.
But it's another thing when you give them $1,000 or $20,000, because that actually influenced you hoped probably to influence their
policies. Skewed the politics. And how one manages that is probably with difficulty. Certainly it's something.
It should be part of how we deal with elections, really.
Yep. Trying to take the politics out of governing the country. Very difficult
to
do.
Take the money out of politics.
And the money, yes.
What were your hopes for this Christmas?
What are my hopes? I'm really looking forward to having a break.
good.
I'm hoping for fine weather. And I'm looking forward to spending time with my nearest and dearest. For our community, I'm hoping that it's not too stressful a time for people, and that people do take a minute to value spending time with their loved ones and creating those memories for the future.
Well, I hope all those things come true for you. We're talking with Andrew Henderson of Budget Advice, and you can podcast this later. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andrew. Marvin.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.